हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 10, chapter 17, Lord Krishna's description of the Varnashram system. A person born a Sudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahmana, if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Purana, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all the Vedic literatures, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Oh, there it is. It's Vayu Purana. This is the one it's talking about because it mentions this principle. And teaches disciples to act in the same way. Okay. Because it's that Upanishadic aspect, manana, shravana manana nididhyasana, it gives a fourth stage, but I don't know the name. And that's teaches the disciples to act in the same way. Like that. Out of his immense compassion, does the personality of Godhead reveal itself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. Right? So these are the principles that we're working on. You know, by our non-transcendental perspective, we may see other aspects, but this is the principle that's actually working. This is what makes it work. This is the aspect that we have to take shelter of. Like that. Also, the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, this is the aspect also where he represents Lord Balaram. Right? If one possesses himself, poses himself as an acharya, but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. And this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharya Deva. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfaction because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real Acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide Acharya is not different from the personality of Godhead. And therefore, to envy such an Acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive of transcendental realization. Right? So that's why it's very important in this Kali Yuga that you have the founder Acharya. Because then, for the founder Acharya, he establishes things, you know, as it is. What are the standards, what to do, the understandings. And then everyone does their best to follow those. Right? So, the teachings of the Acharya are perfect. Therefore, someone who's sincerely trying to follow that, then that's perfect. And they can make others like them. You understand? Because the idea is that you're making others like yourself. So you're committed to following the instruction of the founder Acharya. You can inspire others to be committed to following the instruction of the founder Acharya. right? That will always work. Does that make sense? That's the principle. It'll always work. It'll work in this age where things may not be as ideal, right? Like that.
This principle is foundation of spiritual life.
Yes, because we see as what is the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. He's not mentioning that this is this song and then the next song that'll say, by eating Mahaprasad is the only way by which you can attain pure devotional service. And then the next one he says, by offering a flower to the Lord is the only way by which you can. No, it just there's only this one. Because from the acharya, then you hear about Krishna and devotional service, and then one takes it up. Because otherwise, how do you know Krishna? They can say, you know, well, we can get Bhagavad Gita, but how did we come across that? How do we know it's there? Krishna's sitting in the heart, and he's been sitting in our heart since time immemorial. Since we've come here, he's been with us. But, unfortunately, we don't seem to catch that point, right? So that's the point. The acharya makes it so that you know that. So that potency, that is then representative of Nityananda Prabhu. So that mercy, that kindness of the Lord, that his servitor comes and then teaches you about the Lord. Because the only one who has the Lord is the Lord's servants, his associates. They have the Lord. Otherwise the Lord is independent. So how can you get unless you get from someone who has? Right? So makes sense. Yes.
Whereas some devotees they quote Prabhupada's like first canto, many places written that we should hear only from a self-realized soul.
A self-realized soul.
So they say that.
Yeah, but what is that? But by the same position, what is their authority to say this? And how are they in authority to define who is the self-realized soul? You know what I'm saying? It's like saying there's no the only absolute truth, there's no absolute truth. It's the same kind of mundane argument. And they'll go on for hours arguing this, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the whole point. That's the modes of nature. Prabhupada defines what it is. That's what we accept. What about this? Are they accepting that, okay, if there is one, that he's representing the Supreme Lord, that he's Shakshadhari, non-different from the Lord? He is the mercy incarnation of the Lord. He is Acharya Dev. Yeah? So then? So why are they only arguing on this one over the word A? Right? Because in Sanskrit, what is that letter A mean? In Sanskrit. It's the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So they're arguing over that, you know. Any of them know that that's what they're arguing over? No. So it's just grammatical semantics. So that they learned a little grammar, now they're the world experts. The point is that the parampara has a system. Current has a system. Just like, okay, let us say, what if you're going to run electricity? Okay. If I use a piece of wood, will that work? No, even Tesla wouldn't do that. He might use ground, earth, but he won't use a piece of wood. Okay. Okay. So therefore, we have to use some, you know, generally some kind of metal. Okay. So we can use aluminum. No. Can we use aluminum?
Yes.
The whole of India is using aluminum, and you can't say, will it work or not?
Probably.
Probably, that's the correct answer. It may work, it may not work. Yes. So, what's better than aluminum?
Copper.
But what's better than copper?
Gold.
Yeah, and you know, understand it, go like that, and then you had to do things with temperature, this, that, till they get their ultimate perfection and all this kind of that, where they have hair standing on end and voice choking up and all that kind of jazz. Right? But the point is the electricity going through? Is it the same electricity? Or is the electricity going through the copper wire different from what's going through the aluminum wire? It's the same. Okay. Now, those ones who are making this argument, are they from a technical background? Then, why don't they know this? Hence, yesterday's point about being professional has zero benefit for being Krishna conscious. You know, in fact, it's probably getting technical on the negative side. Because they think that they're so smart. They learn a little grammar, they know a little technical stuff. And so therefore, then they think that their intelligence is going to reveal the Lord. But the point is that that's just on something they dear. Someone else made the point, I think it was Sridhar Maharaj, he made the point that you have the Lord's mercy or the chit potency, but it can be like a little stream, you know, a little creek, you know, these little dinky little things that you see going along, or it can be wide like the Ganga. So Sridhar Maharaj made the point, you know, we're like these little creeks and streams, and he said Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's like the Ganga. So the volume of mercy that's going, but it's still the same mercy. So if you're giving instruction based on the founder Acharya, you're committed to that. Why won't it work? Why the chit potency isn't there? Because we're taking it, that's the external qualities that is making, not the presence of the internal potency. Right? And so based on that system of mundane morality, then of course it's not going to appear to be, you know, as fabulous as it should be. Does that make sense? So that's why argumentation doesn't get you anywhere. Because the point is the absolute truth is the absolute truth. And it doesn't matter whether our speculation agrees with it or not. That's the fun part. People may believe in Krishna or not, but it has no difference on Krishna. We're not talking Buddhist philosophy here. Is that because I'm projecting that there's God, therefore there is, and if I don't, there isn't. No, he's there whether we understand or not, whether we care or not. Right? Does that make sense?
They accept Prabhupada, they teach Prabhupada's books, but they say now to understand Prabhupada's books, we should have one person. That is their conclusion, that it should be only from one person.
Yeah, that's why in the prayer that we say on a regular basis, Sri Gurun Vaishnavam's Cha. That's why we use the plural there. So we're meaning the royal we, so it's only one person. Right? And let me guess. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe a wild guess. I may be really off, you know, because we have the... You know, the principle of uncertainty, the principle of uncertainty here to qualify it. But let me guess that the one that they've chosen is the one that everybody else on the planet should be following. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's also said by one of our acharyas. What's his name? Not Vishwanath Chakravarti. Another Chakrabarti? Huh? Narhari Chakrabarti. Then he makes the point that the neophyte devotee thinks his spiritual master is the greatest because his spiritual master is connected to him, the disciple. He's my spiritual master. That was makes him great. If I had chosen someone else, that other person would be the great one. So these have already been established by the Acharya. This is how people think. You know, it's just a matter of whether they're more cultured or less cultured. And whether they're going to tell you or just have that little knowing smile of superiority or not. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's a waste of time, these things. So Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya. If someone else is trying to follow in that footsteps, that potency is carried. It will have effect. And to that degree that you're committed to and practicing, to that degree you can help the other person. But they're taking no. Only if it's completely absolute, then it can have some effect. Does that make sense? Right? You know, yeah. Like we were discussing, I think it was a few days ago. Unless it's absolute, in other words, until it's 90 proof, it's not going to have any effect. You know, none of this 2%, you know, 12% kind of jazz. Does that make sense? Yeah? So, the point is it is absolute, because the chit potency is absolute. It's not up to us that due to our mundane morality that we think the chit potency can't function. The chit potency is independent. So if someone's following, it works. Because guaranteed, these people who are arguing, they were made a devotee and convinced of devotional service and came to the point of Shraddha by someone who is following someone that they're talking about, not the someone that they're talking about. You understand? So if that happened, how is that possible? Because only this one person can benefit you spiritually and everybody else is a schmutz. Right? So that means only this one person. Then how is it that those you know, new bhaktas who are still wearing white went out there and did the college program and you became convinced and took up chanting Hare Krishna? How is that possible? Because only this one person can do it. You understand? In other words, when the Shastra lists the qualities of the various levels of devotees, thinking very deeply is not one of the qualities attributed to the neophyte. Right? But, as we've mentioned before, argumentation can be. You know, identifying with their previous position. If you identify with your previous position, and that's your qualification, then Kapila Muni in the third canto states that as a devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Right? Because of that pride. Pride is from the mode of ignorance. Passion is you're doing the service to get some benefit. Goodness is doing it because you should. Right? And pure goodness means you want to please Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And last thing, they say that when they come to Krishna consciousness, many people, so they become bewildered. So first few years you learn from a person, learn from his attitude, and then you can associate with them. Like that they properly. So is it correct?
But what does it mean? Who are the others?
Others means others who are bona fides, means they're falling to a path.
Why is that? Means that's going to happen anyway. Because who's going to come through your zone? You know what I'm saying? Even though Bombay may be the center of the universe, but still, how many senior authorized preachers are going to come through there? Right? Because then if that's the case, then you could only associate with that one person. But you're associating with all these other people who are connected to that person. So why aren't they having different levels of realizations and understandings? So why won't you get confused there? Right? It means it does say swajati, like-minded. So those that have that same kind of mentality like that, you'll find to you'll understand more easily. But to just say that no, it has to be here and only one person and this and that, that's just how you say, the ramblings of the neophytes. You know, them trying to establish that their scene is the best. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. As previously mentioned, a disciple should always respect his spiritual master as a manifestation of Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one should always remember that a spiritual master is never authorized to imitate the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. False spiritual masters pose themselves as identical with Sri Krishna in every respect to exploit the sentiments of their disciples. But such impersonalists can only mislead their disciples, for the ultimate aim is to become one with the Lord. That's these impersonalists' their idea. This is against the principles of the devotional cult. The real Vedic philosophy is the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda, Sri Krishna. Right, so you're thinking of this, following the spiritual master and thinking of his connection with Krishna, right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. We're serving spiritual master, serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, serving Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So that kind of move. The real Vedic philosophy is the Chinta Veda. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sundarbha 23 has clearly explained that a pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva as being one with the personality of Godhead exists in terms of the being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. So that's the point when we say he's non-different, and that means the mood, the attitude, or the dearness, like that. These are the aspects. There's no one can be equal with the Lord. Following the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had confirmed the same truth. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead, because he is a very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. That's the identical. Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in light of his being servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representative of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So either way, like that, because it has both aspects. Yes?
So Maharaj, when we meditate and change in Guru Gayatri, do we contemplate on the principle of Guru Tattva, on the person, or on the founder Acharya? How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Does that work? Yes, sir.
And we have to cut the Ghibli tree.
Oh, the one at the end there.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No problem?
Yeah, no problem.
Another
make a
topic.
Point. Yeah. Actually. So is that either, both these aspects are there, because he's a manifest representative of Lord Nityananda in that mercy, that representing to Lord, all these the official aspects. At the same time, a confidential associate, Srimati Radharani, in that service being rendered, trying to please Krishna, all these different aspects. Yes? No?
Yes.
Achinta Beta Beta Tattva? Yeah. The point is all these are there, so whichever one becomes prominent at the time, it's not that it has to be this or has to be that. All this aspect is there because the spiritual master is representing the founder. The founder is representing the parampara. So all these aspects are there, so it's just you're thinking of all these aspects of how the, you know, Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan, the attractive aspect of that, the engagement in the cultivation of, and then that ultimate goal of trying to develop love for Krishna. These are the three aspects.
I'm just just thinking that in Chaitanya Charitamrita we have two groups. One is those are following Nityananda Prabhu, and they have their own, you know, particular mood. And then the followers, you know, like associates of Mahaprabhu, they have, you know, on Srimati Radhika's side. So how can
But those other sites also followers of Lord Chaitanya, just they're followers of Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda. They're all followers of Lord Chaitanya.
Right.
Okay, let's try reading the sentence again. The spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Why are those contradictory? Because we're saying there's two groups.
Okay.
Maharaj, this is the point made, like, Nityananda Prabhu is the source of all the jiva tattvas. And it is like his responsibility that a jiva goes back. And a jiva by nature is to associate, is to serve Krishna, and that is done through Srimati Radharani.
Through the internal potency.
So both.
Both are going on. Yes.
Both are the functions.
You see, one, does it say one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a confidential servant of Srila Nityananda? Does it say that?
Yes.
It says. Either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifest representation of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. You understand? So one is talking about the tattva aspect, about how he's representing. He's representing that aspect of Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead. But that makes him non-different. Like Balaram is non-different, but at the same time it's different because the mood of service. So, like, that aspect is there. And then there's that aspect of that closeness, or that dearness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they both can go on at once. So the official position is there, and you know. Yeah. Yes? No? Okay. We're all good? Something that they say? Okay. They say.
Not on that topic.
Not on that topic. Okay.
I'm uncertain.
You're uncertain. Means if you're certain yourself, that's all right. But if you're uncertain about their certainty, that's fine. Like that, yeah. Sri Krishna continued. In the morning and evening, one should collect foodstuffs and other articles and deliver them to the spiritual master. Then, being self-controlled, one should accept for oneself that which is allotted by the acharya. While engaged in serving the spiritual master, one should remain as a humble servant. And thus, when the guru is walking, the servant should humbly walk behind. When the guru lies down to sleep, the servant should also lie down nearby. And when the guru has awakened, the servant should sit near him, massaging his lotus feet and rendering other similar services. When the guru is sitting down on his asan, the servant should stand nearby with folded hands, awaiting the guru's order. In this way, one should always worship the spiritual master. Until the student has completed his Vedic education, he should remain engaged in the ashram of the spiritual master, should not remain completely free of material, and should remain completely free of material sense gratification, and should not break his vow of celibacy. Wow, that's so far away to get that knot. And should not break his vow of celibacy, brahmacharya. Right, so this is talking about this staying in the ashram. And like that. Okay. No, this is just for the brahmacharya. It says, until the student has completed his Vedic education. So the naistika means he doesn't complete.
Yes.
While the upakurvana means he completes, then he graduates, then he gets married.
Yes.
Like that. So this is describing the principle, is the generic principle of brahmacharya. Because then one will take that principle of brahmacharya and apply that in grihastha life, while the other one will just remain in the brahmacharya ashram.
Yes.
Is
that?
So now, Vriti, then here, having described the duties of a brahmachari who takes up household life, Krishna describes the duties of the lifelong brahmachari in six verses, right? So at this, because Naistika Brahmachari happens after you finish your education.
Okay.
You understand? Because before that, you're a Brahmachari. Now, those who then, having finished, then graduate, they're called Upakurvana. And those after coming to that point of being qualified for graduation but don't graduate, those are called Naistika. Does that make sense? Yeah. And even in that, yes. Okay. So now we're going to describe that. Sri Krishna continued. If the Brahmachari student desires to ascend to the Mahar Loka or Brahma Loka planets, then he should completely surrender his activities to the spiritual master and, observing a powerful vow of perpetual celibacy, dedicate himself to superior Vedic studies. Right, so what's superior Vedic? One is superior Vedic studies means that studies is superior to other activities, right, for the Brahmin. The same time as superior Vedic studies can mean going deeper in the studies. You know, just like we see as Srila Prabhupada gave coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, these levels of degrees. Right? Thus, enlightened in Vedic knowledge by service to the spiritual master, right? That's how you're going to get. You have this knowledge, you use it in the service of the spiritual master, right? Freed from all sins and duality. One should worship me as the Supersoul, as I appear within fire, the spiritual master, one's own self and all living entities. Right? So, free from all sins and duality. So sins means that you're seeing things separate from Krishna. Right? So when you always see things, how it's connected to Krishna, then where can there be any sin? Because that's the ultimate point. If you're talking about this level, if it's connected to Krishna, that's pious. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's sinful. Even in material consideration, it may be considered pious. Even in the Vedic, it may be considered pious. But if it's not connected to Krishna, it's technically sinful, because it will bind you to the material world. Right? And then duality means you're not looking at right, wrong, this, that. You know, you're looking at what's favorable to, and pleasing to Krishna, and what's not. Right? So this mundane duality, this situation is better, or that one. It's a matter of, why is it better? Right? Is it favorable to serve Krishna or not? If it is, that's better. And if it's not, it's not better. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so worship as the super soul as I appear in fire, the spiritual master, one's own self, and all living entities. So then you can see Krishna basically everywhere. Right? And also they would be, you know, doing their fire sacrifice, the daily yajna. Those who are not married, sannyasis, vanaprastas, brahmacharis, should never associate with women by glancing, touching, conversing, joking, or sporting. Neither should they ever associate with any living entity engaged in such sexual activities. The BB2 purport states, Pratina indicates all living entities, whether birds, bees, or human beings. Amongst most species of life, sexual intercourse is preceded by diverse mating rituals. Human society, all types of entertainment, books, music, films, and all types of amusement, places of amusement, restaurants, shopping centers, resorts, are designed to stimulate the sexual urge and create an aura of romance. One who is not married, a sannyasi, brahmachari, or vanaprastha, should rigidly avoid anything related to sex, and of course should never see any living entity, whether bird, insects, or humans, engaged in the various phases of sexual intercourse. When a man jokes with a woman, an intimate sexual surcharged atmosphere is immediately created, and this should be also avoided by those aspiring to practice celibacy. Even a householder becomes attached to such activities will also fall down into the darkness of ignorance. Right? Because even if it's expanded like this, then for the grihastha, it's just expanded to his wife, not to others. There's sometimes the concept that grihastha, then he can talk, deal, and all that with everybody. No, even his own wife. Others, he still maintains the proper formality. Right? If there's service, then he's involved. If there's no service, he's not. Right? You know, as we see, what we mentioned before was that in the 10th canto, in that pastime of Krishna and Rukmini, where she's fanning and then he's saying, well, actually, you know, you're so qualified and I'm not, and, you know, all these great kings were, you know, interested in you and all that, and so actually for your own benefit, you should leave me and you know, accept one of these others and all that. So Prabhupada in the purport was, he was mentioning that one of the main attractions in household life is that joking words between husband and wife. Right? You know, that's where the kind of pleasantness that taste is. Okay. So that's why it happens within the family. Outside the family, then that should be restricted. Right? So if you see is that people aren't, you know, they're careful with that, then that's the person who's behaving nicely. But if they go beyond that, it's beyond what should be, then you know that you have to be careful about such association. That makes sense. So, what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, that's then what is perceived. And what's not, that's what's avoided. So it doesn't matter the position, you choose those associations, that it's about Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it says even a household becomes attached, he'll fall down. Doesn't mean that one's not engaged in the activities, but if you become attached, just like the household is making money, you know, that maintains. But if he becomes attached to money, that will be a problem. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. My dear Uddhava, general cleanliness, washing the hands, bathing, performing religious services at sunrise, noon, and sunset, worshipping me, visiting holy places, chanting japa, avoiding that which is untouchable, unedible, or not to be discussed, and remembering my existence within all living entities as the supersoul. These principles should be followed by all members of society through regulation of the mind, words, and body. A Brahmin observing the great vow of celibacy becomes brilliant like fire. By serious austerity burns to ashes the propensity to perform material activities. Right? Because you're trying to get rid of this idea that I want to enjoy the material world. Mm-hmm. So that means then you perform material activities. So giving up that mentality, that is what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. On this side. And controlling the body, mind, and words. Mm-hmm. And then, why? Because you want to engage in the Lord's service. So being engaged in the Lord's service, you're not engaged in illusory activity. Right? You know, that's the... Therefore, that position where one's giving up this idea of sense gratification and just engaging in Krishna's service, that's the point that will bring one to that transcendental position. Right? That's then what's recommended. So this is for all living entities. What you can see is that the essential core things that are devotional, that's the main part. And the other parts, then those those then may be very specific. Brahmas will have specific duties, kshatriya, vaishya. But these ones, these general ones, then that is for everybody. Something happening, sir?
Huh?
Something happening?
It's all going on.
It's all going on.
Here is described that Brahmana who is observing the celibacy. I mean, the lifelong celibacy is its natural.
It means it can be the Naistika Brahmachari, but it's also mentioned that a householder who follows celibacy, other than how you say procreating children, you know, with his own, that is considered it's the same celibacy. Because the point is you know, children have to be produced. But it's the mentality. If it's a matter of enjoyment, then it's different than if that's just the duties of household life. Does that make sense? Like sometimes you may hear these aspects talked about is that this is there and all that, but you know, it's, you know, how you say, you know, you have all these technical things, but then there's the fun side of it. So then the problem is then you'll see their children will have that fun aspect to them. Well, those that this is part of the process and all that, it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, proper feelings and all these aspects like this, but it's not about fun. It's just, this is the process. Does that make sense? You could say it's no, but without that, then how will it affect? It's just like, let's take a chef. Top chef. You know? For them, they're cooking. Are they expert? Do they do everything right? Are all the little finities there? Right? You understand? You know, it's just like, so noticing the other day is that someone's putting salt on something. They just, you know, spread over a bigger area, but that amount of salt for the whole thing, they just kind of take and just drop in one place. And they've salted it. You know what I'm saying? Well, someone who knows will drop it higher and see that it goes everywhere in an even way. So because they're focused and they do everything right, does that mean the effect is not as good? It's the opposite. When you're just having fun, how do you know you're going to have fun? Right? And at the same time, is how do you guarantee that everybody's having fun? So that's why the rules are there. Does that make sense? So therefore, giving up this idea of sense gratification, then that position, then they come, like, you know, the, how you say, become brilliant like fire. And by that serious austerity, they burn to ashes the propensity to perform material activities. Right? Otherwise, how does Sudama Brahman, then how does he get to that position? Or the Pandavas, or any of these great personalities? Priyavrata. You know, it mentioned there in the verses, just the nice interaction between him and his wife. You know? And Krishna's setting the example. He's not joking with his wife. But it's just part of that's what you do. And that, how do you know? You joke with your wife, you don't joke with other people's wives. So, does that make sense? So then it works. So that's why the Vedic system is there. And it's so broad that it accommodates everything and at the same time restricts what will be a problem for that. Does that make sense? And it works for both. Those who have material desire, they follow the rules and regulations, engage that material desire, and develop love for Krishna. And those that don't have material desire, then why get involved? Because it's the same principle. Are you saying? It's the same principle. Is that you're not absorbed in material elements, and you're focusing on Krishna, and you have no material desire, so you just directly do whatever it was within your purview connected to Krishna. Right? Why would you function in an environment that is based on material desire and expand so much things when you don't actually increase necessarily the quality of your connection to Krishna? Does that make sense? So this same knowledge, then those who means, let's say, of the two kinds of individuals, you know, let's say are brahmacharis, those who are inclined towards upakurvana and those who are inclined towards naistika, they both get the same inspiration. You're just training in brahmacharya. It will produce the two kinds of brahmacharis. Right? The knowledge that this is what's going on, this is how it works. Then for the naistika brahmacharya goes, oh, that's it? You know, what's the point? And for the upakurvani, it goes, oh, that's how it works. Okay, now I'm more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So you get both. That's the thing. Proper brahmachari lectures, you'll produce both. Mm-hmm. But if you only get the ones that are, you know, rah, rah, chew on a piece of wood, and yeah, you know, spit on the women, that's not a brahmachari class, and neither are they brahmacharis. That's the, I say, bigger they are, the harder they fall class of ashram. Right? The naistika is the quiet one. The unassuming one. The one that walks through the room you don't notice. That's the naistika. You understand? The one that wants to be noticed, that's the upakurvana.
So in this connection, like, you know, we see many people wanting to opt naistika, but they want to be in the position of a kshatriya or a vaishya. Then it...
It just depends on how much flavor is there. Is it just an aroma, or is it like the, you know, the full monty? Right?
You the more it is, then it will be difficult for...
Yeah, the more it goes, and the more difficult it is. It's just a matter because, because let's say brahmacharis are generally working within the temple, a kind of more environment, right? So within that, you do have management, you do have money elements, you do have artistic elements, you do have scholastic elements. So you have all the four aspects there, you know. And you can have, you know, and all those you can work with more stuff, less stuff. So you have the wide range, but it has to fit within the context of that temple environment. When it goes beyond that, then that's where the problem will come up. Right? But now a lot of that's going to be on the ego, how much they're identifying. So if they identify with it, brahmacharis don't have that identity. Right? Because you have to understand Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, those are definitions for grihasthas, not for brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Right? Because the function on those three, you have to actually be following the brahminical standard. That's why it's ashram is brahminical. You understand? Then within ashram, you can have these derivatives. And as it was mentioned, derivatives are illusion, right? So that's the whole point. It just adds more onto it. So you don't have it's only important as much as engaging that. And so that essential point is that, you know, you need to deal with money, then here's money, but it's not your money. So as long as money's there and you can count it, you know, then be happy. Because the only thing, if you add possession, now you have to worry about losing it or gaining it. So then the anxiety. But if dealing with the money, you have that, let's say someone has that nature, then they're dealing with it, but it's not theirs. So then they're liberated. Does that make sense? So they can be a great collector or a great accountant or like that, or know how to use money and spend money, or, you know, like this. So it's not a problem. So those aspects are there, but they're not. You're not categorized as these things. It's just that you know, is okay, if you're doing accounts, then you're in one position. You know what I'm saying? But if you're the collector, that's slightly different. And, you know, if you're the cashier, it's different again. And so you know that the cashier listens to the, you know, treasurer, right? Not the other way around. Does that make sense? Good. Sri Krishna continued, a brahmachari who has completed his Vedic education and desires to enter household life should offer proper remuneration to the spiritual master, bathe, cut his hair, put on proper clothes, and so on. Right? Because he's had matted locks up to that time, if he's living out in the forest, and that they're not following Pancharatra. So then he has to cut his hair. He has to shave his head. Like you see, Ramachandra, when they were living in the forest, they had the matted locks. So as soon as he comes back to Ayodhya, then that's the first thing. They shave his head, take the bath, you know, all these kinds of things. Put on proper clothes. Right. So in other words, brahmacharis just wear whatever's available, like that, or whatever was left in the basket if they got up late, right? And so on. Right. Then, taking permission from the guru, he should go back to his home. That Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, the graduation from studies of the brahmachari who will become a householder is described, desiring to enter household life, aveksham, and having sufficiently deliberated on the meaning of the Vedas, he should bathe. Right? So this bathe is the graduation, because that graduation is going is said to be, you know, the ceremony of one who is bathed. Right? Because in there's sprinkling of water with mantra and things like this. It's part of the ceremony. So therefore a snataka or a graduate means one who is bathed. Right? Sounds better than being a graduate, right? This means he should anoint his body with oil, etc., and then return home. Yeah, because then he'll shave, he'll do all these different things and all that in the ceremony. He'll sprinkle water, you know. And he also has to take a bath, because after he shaves his head, then he has to take a bath and everything. Because then, if you're doing, means for us, it's not a big deal, because we already have shaved heads. But otherwise, for them, they have to split the ceremony in two. So they have the first part of the ceremony up to a particular point. Then they go shave, you know, like that. Take oil, bath, that whole kind of thing like that. Then they come back and do the last part of the ceremony. Or we just go through and do it all straight. Right? Because we already have shaved heads. Right? Okay. So even though he was describing Naistika Brahmachari, in other words, that's just the Brahmachari element that's there, everybody has to follow these general things, general cleanliness. Right? It's not the specific cleanliness in the puja, because that's for puja. You're doing puja. But the general cleanliness, after touching things, eating, going like this, you clean yourself. Washing the hands, those are all, any time you're going to touch anything, you know, you wash your hands. Bathing, that they all have to do. Right? Performing religious services at sunrise, noon, and sunset. So the worship of the deities, the chanting of the Gayatri, whatever is the thing that yours is your sadhana. Worshipping Krishna, everyone has to worship Krishna. Visiting holy places, right? Chanting japa, that everyone does, not just the Naistika Brahmacharis. You know, you're not chanting japa. I'm not a Naistika Brahmachari. Hey. Avoiding that which is untouchable and unedible, you know, or uneatable. These are things that you shouldn't eat, right? Because it can't be unedible that you could eat it, but it's not nice, so it's unedible. You can't eat it, but it's not. The Vedas say don't eat it, like that, or not to be discussed. So that means that there's certain things you just don't discuss, right? And there's times and places where you don't discuss things. So to follow that, then that's considered everybody should do. You know, just like it when you're eating, you have pleasant conversations. You don't get into all kinds of heavy, heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. Because you're honoring prasad. If you take it as, it's sense gratification, therefore we have to do something spiritual, so we're going to do our management. And that the point is no, you're honoring prasad. Maybe for you it's material, but for everybody else in the room it's spiritual, so therefore you shouldn't discuss management. You know? Or things that you just don't talk about. You know, Brahmins don't say things that are inauspicious. That's just the way it is. Yes.
The ceremony which we are talking about, or the snataka.
Yes.
Generally, in Indian tradition, it's followed before marriage for everyone.
That's because they didn't really do the brahmachari life, so that especially in the South Indian thing, then they have there, and then he decides that before the whole thing starts, after they've done the preliminaries, but before the actual main part, then he decides to be a brahmachari and he goes off to Varanasi, and then I think the father of the girl has to run after him and convince him about this and that and all these things, and yeah.
They follow all this one after another. They follow that. You get a barber and then you cut your hair and then you give him sufficient money. That is the time the barber can demand how much ever he wants.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
You have to give. It will not be less than 2,000 to 3,000.
Really? Just for shaving the head? I get less than that for doing the wedding.
It's like South Indian marriage means you stack up some 5-10 lakhs and then it's only giving till the marriage gets.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no divorce? There's no divorce in their families, I hope?
Well, that wouldn't be the first point, because if there's a remarriage, you wouldn't go through all that. Remarriage, you don't do any of that kind of stuff. Remarriage is always, if there is, it's a private thing. You know, just family, direct family members like that. And, you know, what would be if families get together, that kind of prasad and stuff like that. There wouldn't be anything more. And the rituals are also cut down to just the essential points. The exchange of garlands, going around 7 times, the lodge homa, you know, the puffed rice in the fire, going around the fire, and the 7 steps, and that's it. That's the remarriage rites. So that wouldn't be public. The thing you have to worry about is if you have 5 daughters. Because that's 25 lakhs. And then the guy who just has sons. Okay, he's
has to spend. Huh? This is what the man has to spend.
That's what the man has to spend. Oh, so we're not even talking about what the girls spend.
Way beyond.
Yeah, I remember I went to one in Bombay, just for the devotees. The girls' side spent 1 crore.
Middle class.
That is considered middle class.
Beerless.
Middle class
family.
No, this wasn't beerless. Maybe they were trying to show that they were beardless, but no, this was just, you know, amongst the Bombay crowd.
He's telling average middle-class people this is 1 crore.
The average middle-class people in India.
Oh, that's middle-class. I thought you said beerless.
No, not beerless.
Oh, you said middle-class.
Yeah.
And then the beerless, it'll be a bit more. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and if there's the barber gets more than I get. I did a yagya at the beerless place. I got 2,000.
Yeah. Many years ago, maybe not.
Nope. Yeah, but I've had other people give me 10 or 30. Who are not as rich as the beerless. Well, not then. Now they are, but... Yes. How did we get onto this?
Snataka.
Okay, yes. Sri Krishna continued. A brahmachari desiring to fulfill his material desires should live at home with his family, and a householder who is eager to purify his consciousness should enter the forest. Whereas a purified Brahman should accept the renounced order of life. One who is not surrendered to me should move progressively from one ashram to another, never acting otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the idea is if you're already surrendered, then that principle is there.
Mm.
And then whatever your position, it'll naturally, you'll move through that.
Mm.
But if not, one should move through these anyway, because if you're working on karma, you have to follow the karma. And then the idea is by this, you should get an idea of renunciation, attachment, and understanding of surrender to the Supreme. But because these ashrams are functioning within religion, you may not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Unless you get proper association. But if you get proper association, then it comes up. Just like, let's say, for example, Prakashananda Saraswati and his 10,000 disciples, right? Straight Mayavadis. But because of the ashram and because of the strictness of following, when they meet Lord Chaitanya, now you have, instead of 10,001 Mayavadis, now you have 10,001 Vaishnavas. Right? And they're on that level of that full commitment, full surrender, and that because they're already in the sannyasa ashram. Does that make sense? So that's the advantage of it, is that wherever you are, then if you get proper association, then you'll be situated in that properly. So as a householder, then you meet devotees, then you'll be situated there. As a vanaprast, then you'll... Like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One enters an ashram according to one's qualification. If he has desires, he becomes a householder, right? Because if he has no desires, he can just remain as a brahmachari. Why go to the trouble if there's no desire? If he has no desire, by having purified his heart, he becomes a vanaprastha. If he is a brahmana and is without desire, he becomes a sannyasi. Right? If some desire to do so, they may go through all ashrams. After brahmachari life, one becomes a householder, then vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Right? So we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that means that they would, you know, from brahmachari going to grihastha life, or brahmachari then, if they're qualified in that, then go to sannyas. So generally we won't worry so much about vanaprastha. For brahmacharis. For grihasthas we do. One should not enter the ashrams in reverse order. One should not enter the ashrams in reverse order. This is the fun part. And one should not be without ashram, unless one is my devotee. Because the devotee can be transcendental to ashrams. Main point is he's always absorbed in service to Krishna. You understand the advantage of the ashrams, just how it works more nicely in the material. Then you accept them, because we see it's recommended. Krishna's recommending, the acharyas are recommending. But even if one doesn't, because either one is above the ashrams, like we see Dattatreya and the Yavadhut Brahmana, like this, or one is below the ashrams and it doesn't make any sense to you, so then, you know, you just follow your lifestyle and connect it to Krishna. Does that make sense? But understand it's below the thing. But its connection to Krishna is what makes it glorious. You understand? So one should not, on the material platform, trying to make them the same. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This beauty is pure devotee. This person is not
a... Yeah. Why, you mean someone else? Or you think it means the they? Or the others?
It's uncertain.
Hmm?
It's uncertain.
It may or may not be. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.